Hello, everyone. Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you're joining us from. Welcome to the School of Mary Live Cenacle Series. And today, on this beautiful day, the Nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary, we have with us Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will that are coming to us live via live stream from Maryville, Tennessee. Yes, indeed, that is Maryville, Tennessee. We're going to begin, as we always do, with prayer. Our prayer is going to be a supplication, a little differently today because of the Feast of the Nativity of our Blessed Virgin Mary. We'll do it as a supplication. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Mother, I want to hold your heart now that my rebel heart is looking for you between a breath of life and a death rattle. Your heartbeats give me peace in the heart. Amen. In the name of the Father, of the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. So again, joy to come together today. Grateful to have awakened, both physically as well as spiritually, and truly blessed to be alive at this time. Blessed to have with us Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters. And before bringing Mother in, I was thinking, and I don't do that often, just before we went on live today, and maybe something that may be obvious. It wasn't obvious to me. I just like to maybe throw it out there, a little food for thought. Let me bring up a little imagery, if I may. Okay. I hope you can see this. This is really interesting. I was following a letter from the association that painted a picture of this and just gave us a little bit of an insight on this. Traditionally, the iconography of this day is pictured like you're seeing right now. Saint Anne is painted on a bed, while the newborn Virgin Mary is cared for by many young women who seem to separate her from her mother, who has just given birth, and who gives the little baby with serene generosity to others, separating herself from her. Example of giving up even holy things? Seems like it to me. Our late Saint Anne sharing the Blessed Mother, the greatest gift given to her by God, because her and St. Joachim were childless, immediately giving the child to others, endowing them, blessing them, sharing. Our little born queen. Fast forward 3 years. Remember St. Anne, St. Joachim, chosen by God, of the royal house of David. Beautiful life. Had everything except one thing. They were childless. And this was considered a bitter misfortune in the Jewish tradition. So at 3 years old, Saint Anne, I believe, and Saint Joachim give us one of the greatest examples of giving up even holy things. They gave up their child, the child, Mother Mary, to the temple, never to see her again. God gives, and we give the gift back. Similar to the divine will. We're giving God's love. We give God love on the level of God, due to God, owed to God. All connected. It all makes sense. And thanks be to God for our blessed Virgin Mary Mother. Mother Gabriel Marie, let me bring in Mother and the sisters and put the video there. And hello, Mother. Hello, sisters.
Hello, Peter. How are you?
I'm doing well. Crystal clear, mabuhay. Crystal clear video and audio. Thanks be to God. Mother, once again, we get endowed, we get blessed with coming together on another beautiful feast day, another gorgeous celebration. And there's just so many innuendos, so many ways of reflecting on this. And again, that's what's so beautiful. We're all going to do it in a slightly different way. And that's why it's so nice to share, which we're going to do right now. Mother?
Right. It's a beautiful day, and we're feeling the grace of the beautiful feast of Our Lady. You know, we celebrate her birthday on 2 days. In Medjugorje, she said her birthday was August 5th. I think some of the mystics in the past said that, too. I forget which ones, but... And she told the people to come, and I think over 100,000 people came that August 5th, and they had all kind of miracles, all kind of visions people saw in the sky, and all kind of healings, and all kinds of things happened. Of course, in Medjugorje, lots of things happen all the time anyway. But, you know, I think if anybody deserves two birthdays, it's Our Lady. So we celebrate both. And we had a birthday cake for her today. And I think we had one on the 5th of August also. But, you know, Our Lady, we have such a wonderful, terrific, wonderful mother. If we knew how magnificent Our Lady was, we would be going to her more often. We'd pray our rosaries with more devotion because, you know, Our Lady is the great intercessor. She's the co-redemptrix. We know that it's not been proclaimed by the church, of course, but we believe she is the mediatrix of all graces and co-redemptrix. And so I was just reading here on volume 33, April 12, 1935. It says, "Now our divine will that possesses the all-seeingness of everything hid nothing from her," meaning Our Lady. "It made all human generations present to this holy creature. And each sin they had committed and would commit, and even from the first instant of her conception, the celestial little one, who knew no other life than the divine will alone, began to grieve with great sorrow over each sin of creature, so much so as to form around each of their sins a sea of divine love and sorrow. My will, which knows not how to do small things, formed inside her beautiful soul seas of sorrow and of love for each sin and for each creature. Therefore, the holy little virgin, from the very first instant of her life, was queen of sorrow and of love, because our omnipotent will gave her such sorrow and love that if it had not sustained her with this power, she would have died for each sin and be consumed with love so many times for as many creatures as would exist. And our divinity began to receive, by virtue of our will, divine sorrow and divine love for all and for each one. Oh, how we felt satisfied and repaid for all. And by virtue of this divine sorrow and love, we felt inclined toward all. Her love was so great that, lording it over us, she would make us love those whom she loved. So much so that as soon as this excelling creature came to light, the eternal word ran to come to look for man and save him. Who can resist the operating power of our will in the creature? And what can it not do and obtain when it wants it? Oh, if all knew the great good we did to the human generations by giving them the celestial queen. It was she who prepared redemption, who conquered her creator, and was a bearer of the eternal word upon earth. Oh, all would cling to her maternal knees to implore her that that divine will whose life she possesses, from that divine will whose life she possesses. So Our Lady, you know, our Lord cannot say no to his mother. She's so magnificent. He said in another place I was reading this morning to Louisa, that when he would look upon the earth was so full of sin before Our Lady came on the earth. He said he couldn't look at it very clearly. He couldn't look at mankind. He loved mankind very so much, but the sin was so fantastic he couldn't really bear to look at it. So he decided God was going to create this beautiful creature, and through her he was going to be able to look at us in a different light. So that's what happened. Our Lady is a great intercessor. God looks through at us through her, and then he's able to look at the earth. It says, too, in volume, let's see what volume this is, volume 33, again, February 4th, 1934. It says, "The sovereign lady in heaven still possesses our hidden love toward each creature. Even more, feeling her creator loving all creatures from within her maternal heart is her greatest contentment. And she, acting as true mother, how many times she hides them inside her love to make them loved, inside her sorrows for them to be forgiven, inside her prayers to obtain for them the greatest graces. Oh, she is the coverer who knows how to cover and excuse her children before the throne of our majesty. Therefore, let yourself be covered by our celestial mama, who shall take care of the needs of her daughter." So our Lord, our Lady hides our sins. You know, she's a loving mother. She loves us so much. You know, she's crying tears of blood in statues all over the world. I think that Sister Agnes from Akita, who died recently, Her statue was crying tears of blood, Our Lady sorrowing over her children's sins, over the fact that many will be lost. And she's pleading with us to look at her son Jesus, to go to her so she can bring us to him. She doesn't, you know, you can't love Our Lady too much. Can't love her more than Jesus loves her. And so praying the rosary and praying it well. I think we have to pray it well. She's our great intercessor. She's going to help us to live in the divine will. She's going to help us to grow in holiness. She's going to help us to realize our littleness and our nothingness. God can say no, cannot say no to his mother. Ask her for the graces. You know, Our Lady, that when the angel Gabriel came to Our Lady, says, Hail Mary, full of grace. She was full of grace. And she wants to share her grace with each one of us. She wants to give each one of us the grace to grow in great holiness. So, you know, go to your mother. Pray to her every day. I suggest that you read from that book, I have a book here, The Prodigies of the Blessed Virgin Mary. It's a beautiful book. And there's also the messages every day for the month of May that Our Lady helps you to live in the divine will. You meditate on one of those little messages every day in the month of May. But you can do that all year round. All year round, take Our Lady by the hand. She will lead you throughout the day to live in the divine will. During the day, read from the Book of Heaven. And at night, read from the Passion Book. That's a good way to live in the divine will. Our Lady in the morning, Book of Heaven during the day, and the Passion Book at night. And, you know, you can't, some people say, well, now that we're living in the divine will, we don't need to pray the rosary. Well, I don't think they're living in the divine will, because the divine will is totally Catholic. Saint, our Lord gave the rosary to us through Saint Dominic. And it's a beautiful prayer that then it's a weapon. Look what happened at the Battle of Lepant. Miracles have happened through the rosary. If you want to really find out about the miracles and listen to a really good talk, listen to Father Don Calloway's talk on the rosary and the miracles of the rosary. It's amazing. And you pray the rosary more devoutly. You can pray it in the divine will, putting your I love you in every aspect of each mystery. You know, and let our Lord pray the Hail Marys in you to his mother. That's what I do when I pray the rosary. It's a divine will act. You know, you can do anything in the divine will. You don't have to stop doing what you're doing.
Right.
You just allow Jesus to do it in you. So some people say, well, you don't have to do this. You don't have to do that. Well, no, the church encourages us to pray the rosary. Our Lady and every one of her apparitions has asked us to pray the rosary. She's talking to everybody, not just those living in, not just us, but also those thinking they're living in the divine will totally. You know, but, you know, I think we don't have to worry where we are, too. I always tell that to people. Just live your life moment by moment. Mothers just call it the sacrament of the present moment. In the present moment, every day, live those moments for God according to his will. Ask him to live it in you, and you're going to get there. Read the volumes and apply it to your life. And you're gonna be living in the divine will, but you can know that you're gonna be living in it by the way your life is changing. Are you practicing virtue? Are you loving others more? Are you seeing everyone through his eyes? Are you seeing yourself also through his eyes? You know, you gotta see yourself through his eyes before you can see others through his eyes. So he lives within. We're walking tabernacles. You know, realize that what great privileges we have with the sacraments. We have the Catholic Church. You know, we're so privileged to be Catholics. It's one true church founded by Christ. And, you know, we have so many graces given to us through the church. So live your Catholic faith truly in divine will and bring many people with you to live in the divine will. Share it with others. The Bishop of Prato told us that when we met with him once, he says, read these volumes. That was a couple of years ago. Read them. And he knew all English speaking people reading the English translation and spread them out to others, he said. You know, that's what our Lord would tell Luis. He was upset when priests would take the books, put them on their desk, and they weren't getting out to the people. He wants us to share it. So you are called to be an apostle of divine will, an evangelist, to go out and share it and spread it. People may reject it, but that's okay. What happened when Jesus told them, he says, unless you eat my body and drink my blood, you have no life within you. They walked away. He didn't run after them and try to convince them and say, oh, no, let me explain. You don't understand. No, he says, shake the dust off your feet and go to someone else.
Right.
You know, don't worry about it. You spread the seeds, and some seed will fall on good ground and some on not so good ground. But that's okay. You get the merit for having spread it, and you're not looking for merit so much as you just want to give God the honor and glory he deserves by sharing the divine will, by spreading it, by living it yourself. First of all, you have to live it. You know, people... people are going to see what's happening to you, and they're going to want it if you live it. If you're practicing charity, being loving and kind in season and out of season, everyone, they're going to see how you have changed, and they're going to want what you have. That's the best way to evangelize, because you can preach all you want, but if you're not living what you're preaching, then no one will listen to you. You know, we have to practice what we preach.
Well, that's hypocrisy, and he really despises hypocrisy, because that was what the Pharisees were doing. They knew the law, they knew love, but they didn't feel love. You know, Mother, it was really important to what you said about the person. This is not about who we are, or even what office we maintain that God has given us. You know, it's all about the divine will. And Our Lady articulates exactly what you said, Mother, in Virgin Mary in the Kingdom, Day 15. She says, quote, "In reality, sanctity does not lie in the office one possesses, but in doing the divine will in whatever office with which one is entrusted. The divine will is the peacemaker of souls and the strength and support in the greatest of sacrifices." So you're right. It doesn't matter what we talked about this on Radio Maria just recently. It doesn't matter the office. We're all called to different offices. There's no greater office or lesser office. They're all important, just like all souls were created equally. We were, but God's going to give us unique dispositions. He's going to give us unique opportunities. That's going to happen. And again, we've talked about this too. We can't look at what everyone else is doing. Well, we can in a general sense. We can encourage one another, like Hebrews says, I think in 3.3. We have to encourage one another. We can't attack one another, because again, if we're attacking one another, we're attacking the divine will. And last but not least, you said share Our Lady, because as we share Our Lady, we're emulating Saint Anne. And we're also, when we share Our Lady, in essence, we are sharing the divine will. So there's no greater sharing that we can do than that. There's no greater job we can have than, as you remind us so eloquently, making the acts and rounds, stepping in the breach, continuing what Adam and Eve were supposed to do that they did not do because of their fault. But that's what we're called to do. And with that, the grace has come. It's all here. Well, it's all simple.
Right. And what's coming is greater than what Adam and Eve had. Right. Because they didn't have Our Lady.
Right.
They didn't have Jesus. They didn't have all that we have. They didn't have the church, you know, so we're going into something even greater. How God is so good, you know, to pick up, to pick us all up and to let us live this divine life. That's what it is. It doesn't matter, like you said, the greatness of the act. He said the smallest act done in his divine will is much greater than the biggest act in the church not done in divine will.
Yeah.
So it's not about the greatness. It's not about being great. That's the worldly way of thinking, being great. You know, I lived in Italy for 13 years, and actually 15 years when my mother sent me for the radio network there. And I noticed the Italian people very little and humble and small and poor, because poverty has made them that way. I'm not saying all the people in Italy, but all these little villages, the poverty has made them simple and little and humble. And that's what we need to become, you know. The America's got greater faith than Italy. I think the church, you know, the last shall be the first. But I see the faith here in American people growing. But sometimes in America, because we're so affluent, we got big. And God's going to make us small again, little. You know, poverty is not bad. He was born in a cave because he wanted to teach us the value of poverty, how it gets us closer to him. Sometimes having everything you want draws you away from him. You don't need him, you know. No, we do need him. And the divine will teaches us that. We're not content and happy unless we have him. And the more you live this beautiful life that he's given us through these great books of the divine will, the more joy you're going to have, the more peace you're going to have, the more contentment you're going to have in everything. So this is the way to go. This is the greatest gift. Embrace it. Live it. Don't put the books on the shelf and not read them. If you read it every day, you're going to find joy and peace. And something about every time you read it, you get this special joy. And he told Louisa that, you know, when you read these books, he's with you in a very special way, you know. And I feel his presence when I'm reading these beautiful books. So I encourage you to read, to ask Our Lady to help you to understand. She will take you by the hand. She'll help you to understand. She's such a loving mother. God is so good to give us this wonderful, wonderful creature to be our mother.
Amen. Another example of Mary, Mother, is doing God's will. You know, Mary married Joseph, became his wife. She went along with what God put basically in front of her, intolerance and an expectation. And St. Teresa of Calcutta, which we just, St. Teresa of Calcutta, we just recently celebrated her feast day. She said, quote, "My children learn the art of holiness because true holiness consists in doing God's will with a smile," end quote. And that is the divine will. Be happy always. Yes, we're going to have difficult situations, but remembering the gift of God's mysterious, permissible will, that when we have those situations or those instances where it doesn't look good, by any means, it doesn't look good, just be rest assured that God will create a greater good out of it if we're docile, if we respond to it, if we don't react to it. And again, just treat that as God's will. That's where he puts us. That's where he wants us.
Well, I think as we read these volumes and apply it, you're going to have joy in hard times. It's a grace. It's a grace that comes from reading this and by believing it, by letting Jesus relive his life in you. Again, you're going to have joy no matter what happens. You're going to have peace in hard times and in bad situations. Only God can do it for us. We can't do it. This is out of our human will. This is divine will.
Right. Hello, Sister Magdalena. Sister, you remind me also, I wanted to say hello to, there's a group joining us today from the Philippines. So mabuhay to all those in the Philippines and to you, Sister. Kumusta ka na po?
Mabuti naman po kayo lahat. Oh. Mabuti.
Salamat.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday to our Blessed Mother. Where do I begin? I don't really know. It's our Blessed Mother is so immense. I don't know. She's everything. Well, I think I would just like to start from love, because that's what our Blessed Mother possesses, love for God and love for all humanity. And I think it's better if I start with a passage here that I got from volume 4, January 26, 1902. And it talks about the three prerogatives, or the most holy trinity, is given to our Blessed Mother, Queen Mama. This morning, while I was in my usual state, I saw an endless light before me. And I comprehended that in that light dwelled the Most Holy Trinity. I also saw the Queen Mama before that light. She was all absorbed in the Most Holy Trinity, and she absorbed all three divine persons within herself in such a way as to be enriched with three prerogatives of the Sacrosanct Trinity, which are power, wisdom, and charity. And just as God loves mankind as part of himself and as a particle that came out of him, and he ardently desires that this part of himself return to himself, so does the Queen Mama. By participating in this love, mankind with passionate love. So our Blessed Mother, when she participated in these prerogatives of God with his power, wisdom, and charity, our Blessed Mother is able to love mankind with passionate love. I think a lot of these problems that some people have problems about, you know, living in the divine will, we don't need to pray the rosary anymore, as if, you know, we have to stop maybe honoring our Blessed Mother. I think it has something to do with the mentality that we're thinking, you know, it's true. We go, when we live in the divine will, it's almost kind of like go back to where the time before the fall, all, you know, kind of like that. But at the same time, not exactly. Because like Mother mentioned earlier, with Adam and Eve before the fall, they didn't have Blessed Mother. They didn't have Jesus, the Redeemer. So they were totally living in the divine will. You know, they did not experience death. They did not experience pain. So therefore, cross was not necessary. Adam and Eve before the fall, they did not have the cross. Now, because of their fall, there was a great blessing coming from that. Instead of a curse, they were cursed because of the curse was like, you know, now Adam has to work hard, sweat and brows, and the woman now will have the pangs of birth and all that. It's kind of like the curse. The nature is going against them. But then God, in his divine mercy, wanted to manifest that he is greater than Satan, who basically tempted humanity. He wants to manifest his power so that out of this great fall, there's also great mercy, which is immense, bigger than the fall. So the biggest gift is that God, the Son of God, became man. So he put on humanity, not just the humanity in Adam, but the fallen Adam, so that now God is able to suffer. And in his suffering, because he's God, he divinized the cross. He divinized suffering. He did not remove suffering, but he divinized it. And then out of that too, out of that love, he had to create a new Eve, a new woman. And that is our Blessed Mother. And she, unlike Eve, Blessed Mother did not say no to God in everything. She offered all of her fiat. Not one moment of her life, she said no. And so that's why, because of this, because of her fiat, God, in his justice, in his love, gave the three prerogatives to Blessed Mother. These prerogatives are God's power, wisdom, and love. And he can give it all to the Blessed Mother because this is God's nature. He can give everything he possesses without diminishing one iota of himself. So he can give it to the Blessed Mother so that Blessed Mother becomes, through her son Jesus Christ, becomes the possessor of God. So there is a mutual exchange of self, God and Blessed Mother. That's why we cannot love Mary enough, because love by its nature is not portioned. It's whole. You either love or you don't. And if I love half, there's part of that half given to myself, like self-love, then it's not pure love. Anything that is divided love is not pure love. And God wants us to give him pure love. And so that means we either love or we don't. It's like digging a hole. You know, I remember, you know, I was still working in the world as a physical therapist. I had one patient gave me a test, a joke actually. He said, how do you, okay, if I dig a hole on the ground, like a 5-foot hole, and then I ask you to give me half a hole, how do you half that hole? And logic is you really do not have half a hole. If a hole on the ground is a hole. A hole is a hole. So it's kind of like love. You know, either you love me or you don't. If you keep something for yourself. So in other words, we cannot love our Blessed Mother enough. If we love, we love, or we don't. And our Blessed Mother is the same way. She is not loving half one person and another person half because of what your status in life or whatever talent you possess. No, she loves everyone exactly the same. What limits us is our disposition, our attitude. That is what limits us. Our human will limits us because we don't want to take everything, maybe because of fear, maybe because of not understanding. Like, for example, some people who says, you know, we don't need to pray the rosary. Maybe they don't understand how it is to live in the divine will. Like Mother said, if I pray the rosary and I pray that in divine will, when I meditate on the mystery, I put myself in that moment. Say, for example, the birth of our Lord, I put my imagination, my whole meditation on that very moment when the Lord was born in the manger. And I don't know exactly what it looked like, but I see that on the picture, but I think it's okay because, you know, that's God's way of communicating to us through pictures. And this is my imagination. You know, I've been to the Holy Land, so I sort of kind of have an image of what it is, but it doesn't matter. What matters is that God, I can go back to that time of God's time, because God doesn't have a beginning and doesn't have an end. This is the beauty about living in the divine will. We no longer have the beginning of the end. I mean, my human act has beginning and has an end. But if I live in the divine will, if Jesus is praying this rosary in me, Blessed Mother is praying this rosary in me, Mother was there in that moment, and Mother can bring us back there at that very moment. And people would say, how is that possible? It is possible because God, there is nothing impossible with God. God created time. See? So because he created time, he can bring you back to wherever you want. And if you ask him to take you to there, he can take you there. He can take you to the future. He can take you to the past. He can make you live in the moment. There is no limit in God. That is the beauty about living in the divine will. If we desire it with the intention of loving him, with the intention of giving him honor, glory, and power. Now, we have hope, and our hope and our joy comes from the hope of one day being able to see him face to face in heaven. Like, there is no more these sorrows that we feel here. That is, of course, but that is not the motivation. The motivation should be to give God honor, glory, and praise, and to love him. And that love makes our sorrows, our joy, our crosses lighter. And that's why there is joy when we live in the divine world, even though, you know, there's so much happening in the world right now that is not so beautiful, in our personal lives, in your workplace, in your family. You know, it's normal to feel sad. It's normal to feel, you know, worry. But we don't react to these emotions. The emotions always come and go. What is important is not how do we respond. The response is more important than the reaction, because reaction can swing back and forth. If we're happy, we react joyfully. If we're sad, we react, you know, sadly, or even negative things. We can react negatively to other people. We can react by, you know, saying bad things about people sometimes, gossip. But if we respond, we step back, and then we put on the mind of Christ, what would Jesus do if he was in this situation? What is the most loving thing to do? Then you respond, you know? And so instead of reaction, respond. Now, we are not perfect. You know, my emotion is there. I can't control my emotion. If I feel angry or even jealous or whatever, now I have the control to give it life. Now, that is what you can control, is giving it life. You can't control your emotion, but what you do with that emotion is you have control over. I guess maybe this is extreme. I don't feel this way, but sometimes you just want to talk back to other people. Someone is crossing you and you want to say back to support or to justify yourself, you know, to give reason. But you know that if you say this word, it would be uncharitable. It would hurt the other person. And once you leave, when you say the word, the wrong word that hurts, that could hurt the person for life. And you don't give life to that. You know, you have these feelings, but you don't want to give life to that. That is what we call a response. What is the loving response? I think sometimes the most loving response is to be quiet, to be silent, you know, and give yourself some time. Pray, go to Jesus. Jesus, how do I respond to this? Lovingly, I want to respond this the way you respond. And it might take a few moments. It might take a day or two, and you can go back and clarify to the person. And then this way you can do more loving way. And that is okay. You know, you don't have to respond right away if you don't anything. So that's one way to live in the divine will. And I think I read a passage in the past where, how do you know that Jesus is living in you? What is the surest sign that God is living in you? And I don't know which passage, but I was surprised. In my human thinking, I would say, oh, I will be very happy and peaceful, which is true. But you know what Jesus says? Suffering. He said that the surest way that you know I am in you is in your suffering, because in your suffering, that's how you can prove to me your love. And when you are able to love despite of suffering, then you are loving and suffering in me. Because our humanity, we are not capable of doing that. We are not capable of keeping our peace. We're not capable of keeping our joy in the midst of suffering, in the midst of opposition. And people, you know, oppose us or do something, calumny, false accusation. We're not capable of having peace despite of those. Only God. So that's why Jesus said, in suffering, when you feel peace despite of suffering, when you feel joy, when you feel all these loving thoughts and loving us despite of, that's when you know for sure that I live in you. Mother Teresa, I remember a passage from Mother Teresa said, if you build, you know, one can build a house in a moment, in 3 years, and then one can destroy it in a moment, built in a way. You know, I don't remember the exact words, but if you love what someone was to destroy that love in a way. So in other words, always put on the mind of Christ, and do what is the loving thing to do. Right. And our human will has to be active. You know, when we say resignation, you know, when we love Jesus and we talk about resignation, it's not a passive resignation to where I don't care. I don't care to do good or not, or I don't care whether Jesus lives in me or not. No, it's more of kind of like resignation. It's like an active participation to where I do not give life to my human will, which has a tendency to destroy love. Because that's what human will has a tendency. Human will is good, but we have that tendency because of our weaknesses. So we don't give life, we don't react, but we respond with the response that Jesus responds, in his divine human act.
And that's so important, Mother. I just like to just really quickly, because when I know personally when I react, I usually get myself in trouble. But I mean, we hear a lot today about artificial intelligence. But what about natural intelligence? What about the intelligence that God imbued in each and every one of us? Some of it may be dormant, but it's there. And then I remembered also, remember charity. Charity has to be present in every virtue, otherwise it's basically not a true virtue. Well, I just was reading the Catechism of the Summa, and this talks about, and I think it's appropriate for this right now, just really quickly, it talks about, is there a gift of the Holy Spirit that corresponds to the virtue of charity? And the answer is yes, it is the gift of wisdom, which is the most perfect of all the gifts. Well, explain. The gift of wisdom is that gift of the Holy Spirit which affects that man under the direct action of the Holy Spirit, judges of all things by reference to the highest and most sublime of all causes, which is the wisdom itself of God, insofar as to make manifest to us by faith. End quote. So basically, when we respond, we're allowing to go into our data banks and bring out that wisdom of God that he's imbued in us, that mystical gift. But when we react, basically it's like the stuff on top of the water. You got to skim it, and that's usually what comes out. But taking a step back, I think it invokes also the silence. Be silent for a moment. I know I get myself in trouble when I blurt quickly. Just take a step back, and then we can be more, I think, poised in our response, because like Mother said before, we can know these volumes inside and out. But if we're not deploying it, if we're not living it, it's going to be hypocrisy. And we know how vile hypocrisy is.
Yeah, well, I think that your emotions change as you live in divine will. You don't react. God does it in you. The more you let him relive his life in you, it becomes easier. You don't, if you have a problem with anger, you don't get angry. You don't express it anymore, because you see in everyone through and everything through his eyes. When you look at everything through Jesus's eyes, you're going to see them in a different light. So you're not going to get angry as you used to. You're not going to get jealous like you used to, because you're being transformed inside. So you don't experience that anymore. So that's how you can know when you live in the divine world. You stop experiencing all these lack of virtue things, lack of charity or whatever inside. And some people think they're living totally in divine will. Maybe they are, but if they're experiencing these lack of virtue things, jealousy, rash judging others, even mentally criticizing, being verbally critical or even mentally critical, that is a fault, because once you see things through Jesus's eyes, you become guileless. You don't see the things you used to see, so you don't react. So it's the secret is to live this totally. To get to live what our Lord gave Louisa in these books totally. So you're not going to see things the same way. You're going to be looking at yourself and everyone through the eyes of Jesus. And when that happens, you transformed from within, So I encourage you to just read it and apply it. So, sister, you want to talk now? Oh, she's coming. Well, you got
Hello,
adoration.
sister. Mother knows
Wait.
best. That was great, Mother. I
Okay.
want to get the transcript of that.
Maybe she's going adoration. She can speak first.
Okay. Megan will take over.
Okay.
So Sister Megan will come back. She has
Wonderful. And then she can take all of our thoughts into adoration with her. How generous of you, Sister Megan. Not to put you on the spot. Hello.
Hello. So this past summer, a priest gave me a Totus Tuus prayer card, written the prayers written by Pope John Paul II. And I just wanted to share, especially on this Mary's birthday, because it's very, very what we are talking about in Divine Will. So it goes, totally yours, Immaculate Conception, Mary, my mother, live in me, act in me, speak in me and through me, think your thoughts in my mind, love through my heart. Give me your dispositions and feelings. Teach, lead me, and guide me to Jesus. Correct, enlighten, and expand my thoughts and behavior. Possess my soul. Take over my entire personality and life. Replace it with yourself. Incline me to constant adoration. Pray in me and through me. Let me live in you and keep me in this union always. So I believe that prayer is from. It says in 1984, Pope John Paul II consecrated the world to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, and this prayer goes along with it. So I just think it's very cool how this prayer and now the divine will is that more people are reading it, just shows how the church has always been going towards the divine will, you know, like, and now it's here. And now with these volumes, we have the gift to be able to live it out even more fully. And also today I was reading in the Book of Heaven, Jesus is talking about Mary and her glory in heaven. She says to Louisa, she embraces all the glory of each one, each creature, on the part of each creature. My will gives her such glory that there is no glory which she does not contain, and no glory which does not descend from her. And since she braided with me her works, her love, her pains, etc., now in heaven she is circumfused with so much glory, for as many as were the braidings that she did in my will. This is why she surpasses everything, embraces everything, and flows in everything. This is what it means to live in my will. My beloved mamma could never have received so much glory if all her acts had not run within my will, constituting her queen and crown of all. Now I want you in my will, so that the braiding may not be between two, but among three. My will wants to expand in order to find, in one creature, all creatures together. But see the great good that will come to you, how much glory you will give me, how much good you will do to all. So that's just very beautiful that now our Lord is inviting us to grow in greater holiness through this, giving ourselves to Our Lady fully. And that's why praying the rosary and really asking Our Lady to help us each day to live in the divine will is really going to be really powerful.
Amen. And you know, you made a really profound statement there when you said all good things, I think you said good things, gravitate towards the divine will. And we've spoken about this. All roads lead to the divine will. Jesus himself spoke about this. And I'm going to, I know I sound like a broken record, but I just love this. It's volume 14, September 11th, 1922. Our blessed Lord reminds us, quote, therefore, there is nothing that I did, which I did not have as primary purpose, excuse me, that man take possession of my divine will and I of his. This was my primary purpose in creation, the same in redemption. The sacraments that I instituted, the many graces given to my saints, have been the seeds, the means, the way in which to let man reach this possession of my divine will. End quote. So everything as glorious as it has been for the ultimate purpose of bringing us back. And that's the church. That's the church's position. It's poised. Its job will not be finished until it returns all of us back to that relapsation of Adam. So that is something we all need to remember, that all roads lead to the divine. It doesn't matter where we started, whether we started with Franciscans or the Dominicans or this prayer group, that prayer group. It doesn't matter. We just have to have the courage to let go of that, give up even holy things and embrace the divine. Well, then go back to it and be a beautiful Dominican in the divine will or a beautiful Franciscan in the divine will. But being a Franciscan doesn't make you greater in the divine will, but the divine will makes you a greater Franciscan. Mother, sisters.
Happy Hello, feast, sister. Everybody. Happy feast. We were actually talking the other day about how Our Lady deserves everything, that she even got 2 days to celebrate her birthday. Because Imajigori, you know, she said that her actual birthday is on August 5th. And then, but the church declares it on today. What's today? It's August, September 8th. I forgot to. But yeah.
Why not? There's two Easters. There's two everything. So I might as well have two birthdays.
And Our Lady, I mean, she's amazing. I'm just so grateful and thankful that we have her, because without her we couldn't do anything. And by saying that, it was really hard for me to like pick one specific passage that talks about Our Lady, because there's so many and all of them are so unique and beautiful. And but finally the Holy Spirit gave me this one. It's from, well, he gave me two, so I'll read from both of them. It's from volume 17, May 1st, 1925, and it says, the office of Our Lady, the mission of Our Lady. In addition to myself, Jesus, there is my celestial mama, who was given the unique mission of mother of a son God and the office of co-redemptrix of mankind. For her mission of divine maternity, she was enriched with so much grace that all that belongs to the other creatures, both celestial and terrestrial, united all together, would never be able to equal her. But this was not enough to draw the world into her maternal womb. She embraced all creatures. She loved, repaired, adored the supreme majesty for all, in such a way as to accomplish herself alone, all that the human generations owe God. So in her virginal heart, she had an inexhaustible vein toward God and toward all creatures. When the divinity found in this virgin the requital of the love of all, it felt in rapture and formed in her its conception. And as she conceived me, she took on the office of co-redemptrix, and she took part in and embraced together with me all the pains, the satisfactions, the reparations, the maternal love toward all. So in the heart of my mother, there was a fiber of maternal love toward each creature. This is why when I was on the cross, in truth and with justice, I declared her the mother of all. She ran together with me in the love, in the pains, in everything. She never left me alone. If the Eternal One had not placed so much grace in her as to be able to receive the love of all from her alone, he would never have moved from heaven to come upon earth to redeem mankind. Here is the necessity, the befittingness that having the mission of Mother of the Word, she embraced and surpassed everything. So when I was reading this, it really gave me like comfort, and like I felt so much love that how it's only because of Our Lady that the word was incarnate in her womb, and how we all as mankind were redeemed, and we should never forget that, and we should always be really grateful with her and always go to her, because she is really the only way to really be safe. Like I can also see like my spiritual directors, when they are really Marians and they really love Mary, there's always a win-win in when they love Our Lady, because they have in their minds that they are nothing, and that the only way to succeed and to like persevere, the word is persevere, in the faith is only through her. And by saying that, also, I want to share from the other reading that is from volume 20, November 2nd, 1926. And it says, everything that the sovereign queen and I did, he is Jesus, is at your disposal to help you, to stand in for you, to give you access to the divine majesty in order to impetrate and ask incessantly for the coming of the kingdom of the eternal fiat. In order for you to receive the good of the longed-for Redeemer, you should have done your part. But since at that time you were not there, my mama stood in for you. Now you must stand in for her in her part for the kingdom of my will. So the mama stood in for the daughter, and the daughter stands in for the mama. More so, since the Queen of Heaven was the first daughter of my will, and because she always lived within our expanse, she formed her own seas of love, of graces, of adoration, of light. Now, since you are the second daughter of my will, what is hers is yours, because your mama keeps you as a birth from herself, and she enjoys that her daughter be inside her own seas in order to impetrate the so longed for kingdom of the divine fiat upon earth. Therefore, see how abundantly your mama makes up for you, giving you all that is hers. Even more, she feels honored that her immense seas serve you in order to impetrate a kingdom so holy. So we can always, you know, all the acts that we do throughout the day, we can always unite them to those of Mary, to be able to, in that seas of love that Mary gave to the Creator, of love or gratitude or adoration, with together our acts together with hers become one act, and that perfect act can be given to the Eternal Father and to Jesus. And how the same way as the humanity of Jesus is also the perfect, you know, image and figure for us, Mama Mary is also the second one. And together now with Luisa, we can always unite our acts with them to give the perfect glory to the Eternal Father. And then we can just be this beautiful celestial family that Our Lady she's been wanting for so long to have her children of the divine will. So we can always, and we should always go to her and have her for mama, because as Jesus, he's also a gentleman, and he's not going to come unless you invite him. Our Lady is also always with open arms waiting for us to just call her, and she's always there for you.
And her grace, Mother, you know, Jesus says that he endowed the Blessed Mother with so much grace that she can give graces consistently and constantly to everyone in the world and never exhaust one grace given to her. So it's inexhaustible what she can give. And that's why it's perfect admonition to go to her. And Mother, I want to ask you a question, not to put you on the spot, but I mean, many times throughout the volumes, Jesus speaks about and refers to our Blessed Mother as co-redemptrix.
Right.
Now that the church has given the Nihil Obstat, boy, this will be interesting for that fifth dogma to be now considered. Because remember, the Marian conferences, as we learned from Father Iannuzzi, they didn't disagree with her being co-redemptrix. They just couldn't sort of package it properly, just sort of like the divine will. They had to go back. There was ambiguities, not those errors, but they had to get a greater understanding in order to present it to the faithful. So this will be very interesting about this fifth dogma coming, and Our Lady's elevation may be on the rise again very soon, hopefully.
Yes, you know, and Our Lady, our Lord said in the volumes, Our Lady would be on his right in heaven, and Luis would be on the left. And people
That's right.
Get concerned about that. They said, where's St. Joseph? I said, well, St. Joseph's on the right with Our Lady. Now, St. Joseph can't be compared to Luisa. St. Joseph, I think, after Our Lady, is the greatest saint. Because St. Joseph, according to Sister Ephraim, Our Lady of America apparitions, he appeared to her and said that he was conceived in sin, but born without original sin. He was sanctified in his mother's womb, and he was born without original sin. So he's not like Luisa. Luisa is like us. She was a sinner. You know, Joseph said he never sinned. You know, he was a different kind of creature than Luisa. So I think, you know, after Our Lady, I would say St. Joseph is the greatest, and maybe after St. Joseph, a Luisa. You know, but our Lord told Luisa, that's why he gave her these writings and this gift, because we could follow Luisa because we're like her. We're born with original sin. And if she could live it, then we know we can live it, you know, with these knowledges. So and people get confused about different things in the divine realm. I heard one the other day say that we don't after you live in the divine will, you don't need grace anymore. Well, you need grace just to live in the divine will, you know. And Our Lady, when the angel appeared to her and she was living totally in divine will, she was conceived without original sin. He said, Hail Mary, full of grace. Our Lady was full of grace. And right after I heard that said, the next passage I was reading in the divine will is Our Lord was telling Luis, he said, I'll give you more grace than many others because you're so empty of self. So the more empty you become of self, the more grace God will give you. To just like we were talking about a while ago, to practice virtue, to get over your anger problem, your jealousy, all these things. That's all it takes grace to do that, you know. So we need grace. I heard one man say recent, well, somebody told me, this man said that now that he's living in the divine will, he doesn't genuflect before the Blessed Sacrament. There's some crazy ideas out there. There's some crazy teachings, you know, that people have. You don't have to go to confession anymore. Well, Luisa went to confession. She had a confessor. You know, Saint Annibale de Francia, I'm sure, was living in a divine will. I'm sure he went to confession. You know, he was her confessor, but he went to confession. So people teach it sometimes in ways that makes the church look at it to say, you know, is this really good? That's why they had to straighten out these ambiguities. But even if they straighten out the ambiguities, people will still confuse the knowledges in here because those were not the ambiguities they're talking about when people are saying that you don't need grace anymore. You don't have to genuflect before the Blessed Sacrament. You don't need to go to confession anymore. Well, if you don't need to go to confession, you probably don't need to receive communion because communion, Eucharist is food and medicine for your soul. So if you're already perfect, you don't need food and medicine for your soul, right? So, I mean, if they think that, the next thing they'll think, well, don't have to receive communion, you know. Yeah. So Luisa was living in the divine will more than we are or anybody I know is. And she received communion every day. She prayed the rosary. She had the rosary in her hand very often, praying the rosary. So don't let these teachers get you confused. Remain in the Catholic Church. Live this in the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church gave us this. Luisa was Catholic, and she gave us, our Lord gave it to us through Luisa. He could have gone to a Baptist, a Protestant. He could have gone to, you know, anybody else, but he went to Luisa, who was totally Catholic.
Well, my mother, let's say this, because that's a really good point, because I think these things are coming up actually more frequently now. I'm not sure why than before. But if anyone has a question, if you hear something that maybe just doesn't sound Catholic, you're not quite sure, send an email to us, marieshill@queenofthedivineworld.org. And I'm not saying I have all the answers, but we'll get you the answer. Mother Gabriel, Father Anuzio, we'll get a definitive answer so we can ascertain it being black or white. So it's easier to move forward, because if we sort of like that fork on the road, if we take the wrong path and we keep going, we're going to be going further away from the real road, just like, we've been on a 6,000-year detour from the divine will. So if you have that question about something that was said by someone, again, we're not trying to put anyone down or we're trying to cast blame on anyone. But again, these have to be corrected, because like Mark Twain said, a lie will travel halfway around the world before truth puts his boots on. I mean, you're not going to be able to retract everything from everyone, because we don't know who's telling who what. So again, if you hear something like this, just let us know. We'll try to get you the definitive answer.
Yeah. Hey, reading these volumes helped me understand everything in the Catholic Church better. It helped me understand everything in the scriptures better, and all the early Catholic Christian writers, Thomas Aquinas, Francis of Sales, you understand everything much better after reading, because this, everything in the Catholic Church is also included in these books. So there's nothing that the Church has ever taught that's not in the divine will. You can understand it better by reading the volumes, what the Church has always taught, you know. And we're the only church that could trace its history back to the time of Jesus. We've had popes all along the way, you know. First pope was Peter, you know. The Lord has always been with the church. So, you know, we have to be grateful for the gift of the Catholic faith. We could have been born in any church, in any religion. We could have been Hindus, you know. And God comes to those people, too. He loves all of his children. He loves the pagans. He loves the Hindus. He loves all these people. And so that doesn't mean that because we're Catholic, we're better. They may live better lives than we do. I remember at the beginning of the apparitions of Medjugorje, the visionaries asked Our Lady, who's the holiest in the village? And she pointed out a Muslim woman. She probably was very humble, very pure, very, very good, you know, and love covers a multitude of sins. We know that. Love is the greatest thing. So if we're going to live in the divine will, we have to have love. You know, we watched the movie, Philip Neri, Paradiso. It's a great movie. If ever you haven't watched it, it's wonderful. But the Pope wanted him to write a constitution for his fraternity, his confraternity. And so the Pope wanted him to, he came the day to see it, to see what he had written. And all these cardinals with him waiting to hear this great dissertation from Philip Neri. And he says, I have only one rule. And he says, because it covers all the others, carita, charity. Charity is the most important. If you think you're living totally in divine will and you're not charitable, you're not there yet. Keep on working. Keep on letting God relive his life in you. You get there. You get there. Have confidence in God living, reliving his life in you. I just want to read at volume 33, February 4th, 1934. Our Lord was telling Luisa, you must know that we love the whole of mankind, but we were forced to keep hidden in our divine being. That's just before Our Lady was conceived. All the immense ardor of our love, because we did not find it in either the beauty that would enrapture our love, or the love that wounding us would make our love pour out in order to inundate them. That means all his people. To make itself known, to love them, to make itself loved. On the contrary, they were immersed in the lethargy of sins. Souls were immersed in the lethargy of sins, such as to cause us to be horrified at merely looking at them. So the Trinity could not look at the earth. They were horrified over the sins throughout the world. But our love was burning, loved us so much. His love was burning for us. We loved them and wanted to make our love reach them. How do we do it? We had to use a great device of our love in order to reach this. And here is how. We call to life the tiny little Virgin Mary, creating her all pure, all holy, all beautiful, all love, without original sin, and making our very divine will to be conceived together with her, so that between she and us, there might be free access, perennial and inseparable union. Now the celestial queen enraptured us with her beauty, and our love ran and ran. With her love, she wounded us, and our love overflowing hid within her, and looking at our creatures through her beauty and her love, our love poured itself out, and we loved all creatures with love hidden in the celestial queen. So we loved all in her, seen through her beauty. They no longer seemed ugly to us. So when our Lord looked at us through Our Lady, we no longer looked ugly to him. Our love was no longer restricted within us, but diffused in the heart of a creature so holy. And by our communicating to her our divine paternity and loving everyone in her, she acquired the divine maternity to be able to love all of her children, generated by her celestial father. As she felt that we loved all creatures in her, so she felt that our love formed the new generation of all mankind within her maternal heart. Can there be greater device of love, more loving stratagems than for our paternal goodness to choose in order to love creatures and those also those who offended us, a creature from that stock, same stock, and form her as beautiful as we could, so that our love would not find hindrances to be able to love everyone in her and make her loved by all. In this celestial queen, all can find our love hidden in her. More so, since possessing our divine will, she dominated us to make us love all. So they love all of us through her, and they cannot say no to Our Lady. So why we have to go to her to receive the grace. They'll give you the grace because they can't still say no to Our Lady. And we, with our sweet empire dominated, cannot be without loving. And it uses all arts and makes the occasion to love from the littlest things, just as from the greatest. Our love now hides, now makes itself manifest, now directly, and now through an indirect way, in order to make itself known, that we love with incessant love, she whom we delivered from the depth of our love. Greater gift we could not find, give to all generations in giving them this incomparable creature as the mother of all, and as the bearer of our love hidden in her, in order to feed it to her children. So we are, Our Lady is our mother also. Our Lord said when he relived each one of our lives for on earth, he relived every person's life to the fullest, to perfection, except our sins, of course. And so he did that by calling us into all of his activities. He called us into his conception, so we were conceived with him and Our Lady. He called us into his birth, so we were born through him in Our Lady. In the 9 months in his mother's womb, he called the 9 months in our mother's womb in his 9 months in his mother's womb. Every step that he walked, he called our steps in his steps. Every breath that he breathed, he called our breaths in his. So he divinized all of our actions by calling them into his actions. And that's why we take those actions that he already did for us by including them in his own as our own as a gift. And we take in divine acts as our own and return it to him to give the Father the honor and glory he deserves. That's what the divine will is all about. It's all about love, God loving us and us returning that love. And the basis of living in the divine will is acts and round the divine will. But you have to know what that means. You have to read the volumes, understand the truths he gives to Louisa so that you can have faith that he really is doing what he says he's doing. When you call him in your activities, really doing those activities, to believe that, to know that. If you have faith like a mustard seed, you can move mountains. How do we get that faith? By reading the volumes, by believing it, by asking Our Lady to give you the grace to really believe what he's saying in these beautiful volumes. The greater, he says, the more you have, the more you know, the more you believe, he says, the greater the act, the greater right. the realm. So your faith in it is what makes it so valuable. But you get the faith in it by learning who God is, what he is, what happens when you do an action around the divine will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, that is, Mother. And we've talked about it often, too, when Jesus gives us that illustration in volume 34 about when we call the divine will into our acts, what happens? The Father is at attention. He looks within himself. He calls the sacrosanct Trinity into huddle. He gathers all grace and imaginable graces, transports it into the soul for that act, and that act becomes divinized. We can't do that by ourselves. So we get a visual that this is not just a few words, you know, come divine will speak in my speaking. It's huge. Secondly, you also mentioned about St. Philip Neri. If I don't recall, Mother, I think Jesus actually includes St. Philip Neri's name in the volume somewhere. I don't know where.
He does, yes. I was just reading it the other day. I don't have the book with me, but yes, he was saying that he wanted houses of priests.
Oh, that's right, the house of reunion.
And he wanted the priests to have the what do they call the constitution, the rule of Philip Neri.
Say that's right.
And the rule of Philip Neri, according to the movie, the end of the rule was charity, carita. I'm sure he had, you know, they must have written something up. I don't know what our Lord was talking about to Louisa. Maybe he was talking about that charity. You know, the priests would live together in houses and they would practice great charity, because charity is the only thing that's going to last. Love is another word for charity. Love is the only thing that will last for all eternity in heaven. Hope and faith will be gone. We don't need hope anymore after we leave this earth. We don't need faith anymore, but you need love. We'll have love in heaven. Right. Everyone loves, truly loves, because God is all love. That's what it's all about, love. So carità in Italian, charity, is where it's at, to really love. And I think the more you're going to learn to love more and more as you apply these beautiful writings and you live, you apply them to your life, you're going to be falling in love with everybody, even people you don't know. We see people in the streets. I just love them. I don't know who they are. Yeah. I'm not saying I live totally in divine will, but I know more and more I'm just falling in love with people, you know, because yeah. I'm trying to call them in more and more in my acts and rounds. We do rounds every day. We do about 15 minutes of rounds or so a day together at the community, but you can do them when you're walking out or, you know, some other ways, you know. But to do acts and rounds in divine will is important, but you just got to really have the faith that it really works. It really is God is doing in you what he claims to do in you through these beautiful writings.
Right. You mentioned about the houses of reunion. This has not come to fruition yet. Jesus wants this. We tried a few years ago to bring it together. We failed miserably. But I think there's one that's pretty much set up, or it's going to be quickly to where Jesus wants it. Jenny Troy in Perth, I think, in Australia, has a Casa Luisa, where many priests frequent. They have seminars. I'm not sure if there's anyone in residence there. But again, these houses of reunion are going to happen. Again, God's going to give that office to somebody. Perhaps he's given it to Jenny. I kind of think he has. And there'll be others. So again, we just wait. We wait for God to give us that push, that nudge, so to speak. And then we run, as he tells us in the volumes. Thank you, Mother, for that.
There are fewer priests now, and sometimes there's only one priest in a parish. That's the problem. They can't just get to travel so far to one parish to another.
Right.
But then in some parishes, I know, like in Thibodaux, Louisiana, maybe there's a St. Joseph Cathedral, maybe three or four priests in that house. Well, if they embrace the divine will, they've got one of those houses of reunion for the priests, you know. So it's where priests are living together. He didn't want, the problem was in Italy, that's where it was happening, that the problem was that priests were living with their families. And they were trying to take care of their families. And I know Father Elijah lived with a priest when he was his first year as a priest. He was an assistant, you know, the pastor of the church, and he was the assistant. Had his family living with him, and they would sit around the table at night for supper, and they watched the news at the TV on, and it drove Father crazy. You know, he just wanted to be quiet, you know, and pray, you know. But that's what it wasn't, and that happened a lot in Italy. They were living with their families; they were very close to families, and they couldn't really live a religious life in a sense, because even parish priests should live a religious life. They should have a deep prayer life, you know, so when they're not serving the people, they should have hours of adoration. Bishop Sheen encouraged every priest to take every parish priest take at least an hour of adoration a day, even if the tabernacle's closed, to take an hour of adoration. So how many priests do that? And you know, Our Lady, the Mary Movement of Priests, Father Gobi, she gave him beautiful teachings and many of them in the divine will, but that she wanted priests to be devoted to her. If they stay devoted to her, they're going to keep out of trouble. The devil will stay far away from them, because he doesn't like Our Lady. You devoted to Our Lady, he'll stay far away from you, you know. And so that's what we have to pray, that priests get more devoted to Our Lady. Some priests can't help it. They have to live alone because they live so far, maybe out. They can't travel so far to live with other priests. And maybe there's only one priest there. Some priests have three or four parishes to take care of. That's the problem in my brother's diocese in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. The priest that travels from one church to another to say Mass, because they don't have a priest at their parish church living there, you know. So this shortage of priests today. Maybe in the future, when the divine will reigns, there'll be more. I don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what things will be like. But we know right now, we pray that that will happen. What our Lord asked for through Louisa, the houses of priests, so the priests will be stronger priests. There'll be greater priests. There'll be holier priests. They'll be more content, because priests living alone, I'm sure, must be very lonely. lonely life for them.
And in 30 seconds, you mentioned about the family. Jesus actually calls out, I think it's in volume 13, that the family destroys the priest. Now, when I first heard that and read that, I thought it was just the biological family, the nuclear family that you're talking about. But remember, family has two definitions. It's blood family, and there's a group of like-minded individuals. So we also have to be careful there too, because there could be a group that can sway or persuade or move the priest, perhaps not in a great direction, or maybe not in the proper direction that he should be taking. So again, when Jesus says the family destroys the priest, we have to just pray on that so that we have the proper understanding of that. Is it the biological family or is it the group? Because we know some priests that have been moved in directions unbecoming or where they shouldn't have gone, perhaps against God's will, just because of certain circumstances, again, in the world. It's very difficult. But yeah, loneliness also. Right. We pray for priests because if they are lonely, that's a terrible situation. But they shouldn't be with Our Lady and our Lord.
Right. We all get influenced by the people we hang out with. You know,
that's true.
I mean, you have to watch the company you keep because they are going to influence you.
That's
you
true.
Know, got to watch, pray for the person you marry because your marriage, your mate can make you or break you, you know, make you better or make you worse, you know. So, I mean, we have to watch who we hang out with, the people that influence us. We have to just remain firm with the church and the teachings of the church. Stay close to those who believe the same way as you do in that, because you can be easily influenced and go a different direction, the wrong direction. And
right.
and the devil comes as an angel of light. He makes everything look really good to get you to believe it.
Right. Well, that reminds me of St. Cyril Jerusalem. I promise this will be the last thing. I'll shut my mouth. St. Cyril Jerusalem said, flee from the wolves, gather with the sheep, never leave the church. So when things get difficult, we may have to realign ourselves. We may have to reconsider friends. And again, I like to look at it, you know, if my companion is not willing to die a martyr. When things get difficult, it might be survival of the fittest, and that's a very dangerous environment to be in. So St. Cyril Jerusalem, and he also, St. Cyril also talked about the three comings of our Lord, so he knows what he's talking about. And now, sister, I'll be quiet.
Hi, no, you're great, Peter. I love hearing you share, and I love, listening to all these beautiful, beautiful things, and happy birthday to our Heavenly Mama. It's a beautiful day here in Tennessee. The Lord decorated with some fall colors and beautiful breeze. Anyway, Mother was sharing about love, and I was reading earlier from volume 32 about all about love and what Jesus is saying to Louisa. He says, my blessed daughter, going around in all our acts, which we did in both creation and in redemption for love of creatures, makes new love arise from within our divine being and invest the one who unites us, who unites with our divine acts. By uniting herself with our works, she prepares the little place in which to receive our waves of love. And as she receives them, she too loves us with new love and forms new waves of love for her Creator in such a way that she holds her little place of love in our divine being, and we hold our place in the creature. You must know that true sanctity is formed by the degrees of love with which you are loved by God, and it is then that this love takes possession when the creature loves. When she receives his divine love and she loves, God disposes himself to love her more with new love. And then further along, talking about Our Lady in this is, as she was so much loved by God and in a special way chosen to be his mom, it's just really beautiful to see how that love through all these graces that she received, the overflowing of graces, that she spreads that love to all of us and her children that are awaiting whatever prayers or whatever intentions, desires we have, that she hears them and she sees them and that she will give them to her son, to Jesus. So this is where he talks about our celestial mama. So if I have manifested to you so many truths of my divine will, it is because I want to give you the gift of its life operating in you. If it were not so, I would have never spoken to you so much. My mere speaking is messenger and bearer and depository of the great gift of my divine will, not only for you, but for the whole entire world. Therefore, be attentive so that my seed may be pulverized in you to the point of changing into your nature. And then you will experience with facts the reigning of my will in your soul. In fact, did I not do the same with my celestial mother?
First, I formed her, I prepared her, I endowed her, I prepared the place, I extended my heaven in the depth of her soul, I made known to her many things, and as I made them known to her, so did I give them to her as a gift. I could say that we, mother and son, first did the deeds, and when nothing was lacking to my sanctity, to my divine decorum, to the new heaven that was coming to dwell upon earth, then did I manifest to her the secret that I had already chosen her as my mother. And I was just thinking about too, like faith, hope, and love, and how Our Lady, as a creature like us, who isn't God, you know, isn't omnipotent and omniscient, doesn't know all of God's will at one moment, you know, at all at one moment, but sip by sip like us, that she had such faith, hope, and love in all of the actions that she did and all the ways that the Lord called her every moment to say yes to him and was faithful in doing the divine will, but also living in it. So it's just, yeah, great. She's a great intercessor and a great mother for us all to reflect on. And I know in other volumes it talks about, Jesus tells us about how he wanted Luisa to be an imitation of Our Lady and how he wants all of us to be imitations of her in her faithfulness and in her fidelity to the God's will. Yeah, so it's just a beautiful celebration today that we can thank the Lord for giving birth to Our Lady and then also giving her as mother of all and for her yes to him.
Yeah, and so, you know, when you mentioned about the example to all, it's actually in our catechism 507, which states, I'm going to paraphrase it, Our Lady is the perfect model and example of Holy Mother Church. So yeah, we want to emulate the perfect model of our church. And that's it's beautiful. Yeah, we're so blessed to have our Blessed Lady Mother.
Yeah, I was just reading volume 31, September 8th, 1932, Our Lady's birthday. And it says, since today was the nativity of the Queen of Heaven, I stopped to think about the great portent of her birth, such that it seemed that heaven and earth came to attention to adore this divine prodigy. And my highest good, Jesus, with unspeakable love and tenderness, told me, blessed daughter of my will, the birth of my celestial mama encloses all the wonders, all the prodigies united together. But do you know why? It was not her alone to be born, the pure one, the holy one, the beautiful one, the immaculate, no, but together with the celestial baby girl, my divine will was born in her, already conceived and enclosed in her to form its life, growing and operating in the gracious little girl, my will enclosing itself to be born together with her, making use of the organ of the celestial creature in order to operate and form its divine life. This was a prodigy that only the eternal love, the divine wisdom and power could operate. It was not just the life that was given, nor was it merely the gift to free in her from original sin. This would have been nothing for our power. What stupefied and drew the attention of all was my will being born together with her in the world, so much so that heaven and earth remained shaken, came to attention, felt a mysterious force, that same force that dominated them and preserved the whole creation was the same will of ours that moved everything and placed itself and all creation at the service and disposal of this newborn baby girl. So this being born of my will, this being born of my will together with her was the origin that called all the other prodigies to be centralized in her. Wherever my fiat reigns, there is no good it does not enclose, no prodigy it does not perform. It wants to make display of its love and power by forming its operating life and place from its own for as much as the creature is capable of containing. Therefore, admire and thank our Supreme Being who reaches so much love toward this newborn little girl as to make our will, which is not born, which has no beginning and no end or limits in its boundaries, to be born in her. So why do we have the divine will reigning here on earth or starting to reign on earth? Because Our Lady had it. Our Lord gave it to her. She was the first. first creature, you know. So we have to be so grateful to God for such a wonderful, wonderful, perfect mother, a loving mother we have. She loves us so much. If she cries tears of joy over souls being lost, we have such, she loves us. She loves us dearly. Look what our Lord is doing, sending his mother all over the world so many times, Garabandal many, many times, Our Lady in Medjugorje many, many times. You know, now he's escalated the amount of time that she's appearing. He says at Medjugorje, he gave him a message that was, this is the last time his mother will be coming to earth, because we're getting ready for the fulfillment of the divine will. There won't be any need for Our Lady to come back on earth. He sends his mother to teach us, to bring us to him. And so this will be the last times. Now, she's appearing in other places, but this is the last times. It won't be happening anymore, he says, you know. So we have to really be grateful for all the graces and blessings. I mean, some people have been converted just by reading a book of Medjugorje. I think Father Don Calloway just read a book of Medjugorje. Before he even went, he received a great, profound conversion, you know. That's how powerful our Lord, his mother is, you know. He gives her this grace to really bring us to him. And that's what we all pray for. You want to get closer and closer to her son. She doesn't take the glory herself. She wants us to glorify him. But she's a loving, kind mother. And just go to her. You know, he loves his mother so much. And we want to love her like Jesus loves her, you know. So we pray for that grace, to love her like Jesus loves her. And she will help us to love him the way she loves him, you know. God is so good. We have so much to be grateful for. This is such a great gift. God has gifted us with so many beautiful things during this past century, actually, you know. Our Lady appearing everywhere, Eucharistic miracles everywhere, more blood shed for the church in this past century than ever before, more martyrs than ever before. So God is really gracing us with so many benefits. We know so much more than even the apostles knew. You know, we have the fullness of the faith now, and they didn't have all that, you know, and we have that. So we have to be so grateful to God. It's the greatest time to be alive, and just, you know, really take advantage of all these great graces and truly take these gifts that he wants to give you. You may be inspired to go and visit an apparition site, Lourdes, Fatima, Medjugorje, to get graces. And Our Lady, you become like her, more her child, it seems. She gave a message in Medjugorje saying that once you go there, she'll never let you go. She's always got her hand on you. And I've known even drug addicts that go there and they're on drugs and they leave still on drugs and they can't stay away. They go back. And then they're healed, you know. It may not always happen the first time, but it's like they got to go back. They can't stay away. Our Lady's pulling them back. And then the healing and the conversion takes place.
Mm-hmm. Well, she's the ultimate magnet to bring us to our Lord. And just like, for example, another lesser of a magnet is the role of the mystics, which Jesus says. He tells Luisa, I think in The Son of My Will, it's there. That says, you know, you're to be a magnet. You're to draw people into me, into my divine will. Because again, we talked about this also, Mother. It's Jesus and Mary who are the ultimate teachers. I mean, we're all cheerleaders. We do our best. We all fill a certain void, but the ultimate teachers are going to be our Blessed Mother and our Blessed Lord. And again, this is a great, great feast day. And I'd like to close with a couple words and then have you, Mother, close us in prayer, if that would be okay.
Okay.
So since today is the birthday of our Blessed Lady, we've been talking about that, I'd like to jump to day 31 of the Virgin Mary of the Kingdom. And this goes full circle. This is her last words. So this is what, and we can do this as a supplication too. This is Our Lady speaking in day 31. Dear child, listen to the last words of your mother as I die of pure love. Receive my last blessing as the seal of the life of the divine will that I leave in you, which will form your heavens, your sun, S-U-N, and your seas of love and grace in these last moments. Your heavenly mother desires to inundate you with love and pour herself out in you, and I do so in order that in your last words, you may tell me that you prefer to die and make any sacrifice than to do one act of your own will. Tell me you will do so. Tell me so, my child. End quote. And Mother, the final blessing, or for the final prayer, please.
Yeah, well, we just, you know, ask Our Lady this day in the name of all souls past, present, and future. Even the holy angels, we call them to ask with us. We bring the whole heavenly court. So we have a big prayer group here, asking them to ask our Lord through Our Lady's intercession to give us the graces to live totally in His most holy and divine will, in order to give Him all the honor and glory He deserves with our lives, that He will receive the grace to live great charity, die to ourselves, see everyone through His eyes, love everyone with His love. We pray for that great grace in these hard times. Know that as the more we call Him in everything we do, every soul throughout the world is being touched and transformed as much as they be open to the grace. We ask all this, O Lord, in the name of Your Holy Mother, Our Lady, that You will allow her to come and intercede for each one of us here listening and all of our family members who are not listening, that they will also be transformed and healed and brought closer and closer to You, Lord Jesus, through Your Holy Mother. Amen.
Amen. Thanks be to God for this moment. Thank You, Mother, for Your fiat, for the sisters' fiat, for all Your time and Your generosity. Allow everyone now to unmute themselves if they'd like to, and say goodbye to Mother and the sisters until we meet again. Love You, Mother. Love You, sisters.
Bye, sister.
Bye. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Hello.
Hi, Beth. Hi, Beth.
Hey, Mother.
Hi, hello. Mother. Hi, Joe. Hi, Mary Jo.
God bless.
Thank you.
Hello.
Thank you,
God bless you all.
Thank you, Mother.
Thank you.
Love y'all.
Love you.
Bye-bye.
Love you.
Thank you, everybody.
Love y'all. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Love you. Bye-bye.